Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio. Good evening. It's 6 o'clock, and this is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio with Ronald Feynman, Wayne Johnson. I'm the producer, Gwen Berry. How are you guys?
You're doing fine.
Doing very well. Thank you very much, Gwen.
It's been a few weeks since we've been on. Lots has been happening.
You know what I heard today? I heard somebody say, somebody who's very, very left activist and good people, our old pal Hobbit, she said, you know, Trump's going to be reelected in the next election. And I said, you know, I'll make you a wager he's not.
No.
What do you guys
say? I don't think
Professor, neither I was going to say, this is your bailiwick, and why? You said no, now give us the reason why.
Well, because I think there are a lot of people who are not Trumpers in the Republican Party, and I think they're going to challenge, and if he gets nominated, they'll split the party and form an independent movement, and that'll divide the Republicans, and then the Democrat will win.
Well, we can hope for that.
I wrote this week about this, possible people that could run. I'm not saying I'm for them, but, you know, in Paris, they're less evil. But I have Chris Christie has made clear, the former governor of New Jersey, he plans to run. You know, he's not quite saying it, but he is sort of like. Larry Hogan, your governor in Maryland, who's leaving, seems to hint that he's going to. Liz Cheney's a congresswoman who, again, I don't like her father. I don't really like her on most things, but she is courageous, as is Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, on the issue of being on the January 6th House committee. And Mitt Romney, who I'm no fan of, but he certainly could run again, or Ben Sasse of Nebraska from the Senate, or the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, who has been a critic, and, of course, John Kasich of Ohio. Those are at least eight people that could, I think, run, and not all of them are going to run. And there's also this independent Evan McMullen, who ran as an independent and did pretty well in Utah. I just think there's going to be a challenge, and there are a lot of conservatives who are not Trumpites, and they just feel that he's destroying the party and that they have to oppose him. So a lot of people in media and a lot of people in, you know, that are authors and write on news, you know, write news columns, and I just don't think it's, I don't think it's going to happen that he's going to be the nominee in the first place.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I don't either. I don't think so either. I like Professor Ron's prediction that if he did, it would split the party. But then again, let's remember what party we're talking about. We're talking about Republicans who have gone above and beyond decrepit, corrupt, and monstrous, and traitorous.
Yes, definitely treason.
Not the people I mentioned, not those. They're not committing treason. They're just conservatives who I don't agree with, but they're not evil in the same sense. I mean, I would not support them.
Yeah. I agree,
but I think Gwen is saying that as a whole.
The majority of Congress fits that tub.
And, oh, my God, yes.
The majority of the Senate, who carry the moniker of GOP, all fit that tub. So just stick them in it, because that's who's going to be the ones who do the legwork.
They're going to fall in line and goose-step, march in line with whatever extremism that does come around.
Yeah, but this whole thing, the threats to election officials in the states – and members of Congress have voted for infrastructure, which is good for their districts and states. It makes no sense. These crazy people that are threatening people that even control school boards. And it's just, I don't know, to me, and I wrote this today, and maybe it's pretty extreme. I said Trump is inciting violence, and it's a clear and present danger who needs to be prosecuted just for what he says, because he's gone beyond the pale.
Exactly. We have never – I was just talking with – well, her name is Jennifer Bodine. Her dad is Audrey Bodine, who is a great photographer for the Baltimore Sun. And his photos, his black and white photos, are becoming very iconic, like Ansel Adams almost.
You know? Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, a very, very good photographer. Anyway, I was just talking with her a lot today, back and forth, and we were talking about the extremism, the what has become palatable of being uncivil to each other. Across this country, like you said, you know, threats to it because you voted for a bill that is to repair our bridges that are collapsing. I mean, come on. But this is the extreme nihilistic aspect of the mindset of the GOP today and many within it. As a matter of fact, my wife and I, and I highly recommend it. I'm going to give it a little plug here, Gwen. The movie Belfast. I predict it will be the picture of the year at the Academy Awards. And basically,
Belfast.
What it is Belfast, like in Belfast, Ireland.
But the Northern Ireland bloodshed.
Right.
1969 and
1988. We're all kind of, I'm sure, the same age that we can remember the Protestant and Catholic Civil War, where neighbors were street by street attacking each other because they were of an opposite faith. Christian faith, but an opposite one.
Yeah, I got to give credit, and I have in my class, to Bill Clinton and George Mitchell, the former majority leader of the Senate, who negotiated with both sides and got the Good Friday Agreement in 1998, and it's held.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, is I can remember I was talking with a British crew of a freighter there in Taranto, Italy, which is in the arch of the boot. And we were just talking back and forth, you know, Yanks and Brits, and it was all good stuff. And I said, you know, what is going on in Ireland, right? Because the IRA was coming and actually lobbing bombs in Britain and London.
And they also killed,
this was the mid-70s.
Members of the royal family. Yeah.
Well, right. Well, thing is, right. And they said they have been fighting for so long, they don't even know what they're fighting for anymore.
Well,
but
can
there
I
was
give
impression.
You a little?
Go ahead, Gwen.
Yeah. Yeah, I had cousins who were involved in that down in the south of Ireland. And I, on a visit, said, this is wrong, you're murderers. Of course, the priest banned me from the church for it. Priests were always for 100 years backing it all up because it was about the church.
Yeah. Well, that was one thing in the movie was here was the Protestant preacher talking about, you know, the evils of this and, you know, we need to be taking our, basically, it wasn't the exact words, but it was almost like we need to be taking our country back and our place in this country and this kind of stuff. So it was happening at the religious level by those in the pulpit from both sides giving validation that we need to be doing this to those people over there. You know,
terrible.
In insanity. Well, now I'm drawing a parallel here as I'm, you know, as I'm watching this. This is exactly what they're doing to us today. Anti-immigration. Those people. Oh, COVID came from China. There's an 80-year-old, a little 80-year-old Asian woman. I'm going to go up and punch her in the face because she brought over COVID. You know, that's kind of insanity that is now proliferated in this country. I drew a lot of parallels of what was happening there, and it's happening here, and it is being fed by the hate mongering, like the Rush Limbaughs and all the clones of the Me Toos.
Well, Rush is
Don
no longer
Hannity,
with us, so can't blame
Fox,
him.
Right?
What
well,
do you
yeah,
mean?
I mean, Fox. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, no,
did
Putin
Rush
actually,
Limbaugh die? Did
Rush Limbaugh died about a year ago? Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I did not know.
We know that you haven't heard much from him lately. But instead we hear from Mark Levin, and we hear from, you know, and from Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. But he's gone. He died, I think, more than a year ago, about a year ago,
Yeah, he died of cancer. Right? When Trump gave him that Medal of Freedom for his
– oh, my God, I wanted to vomit.
Right? Well, yeah, thank you, Professor. Thank you. and it was shortly after that he died because he had smoked so many cigars because he was all part of that. Yeah, we smoke cigars because we're Big Daddy Warbucks kind of guy, and that's the image. And he was puffing away on these cigars all those years. It gave him lung cancer. No different than the Marlboro man who always had to go around on tours, right? But he was always having to light up a cigarette and smoke because he smoked Marlboros. He died of lung cancer.
Okay, keep it even there, buddy. Remember, I still got a pack of American Spirits in my pocket.
Well, Gwen, you need to stop, love.
Actually, for the record, he died in February 2021. He died this year in February. So it's not that long ago, but he died in February 17th, so it's about 9 months ago,
So we're of an accord here that Trump will not get the presidency again.
Now I'm going to take a little different view. If he's not indicted, you know, if they pedal around right and he's not going to trial and being indicted and to stand trial publicly for his treasonous acts and the crimes to humanity, i.e. separating babies from their parents.
Oh, my God. That was...
because they came and asked for legally political asylum immigration
into
this country.
Criminal. That's so criminal.
Right. And even the Republican, a year ago, right before the election, I think it was like in October, the Republican-led and held majority of the Senate Intelligence Commission findings came out that, yes, Trump did, in fact, committed treasonous acts working with the Russians, i.e. Putin, in the 2016 election. When given the evidence, they said, yes, he committed treason and was committing treasonous acts with the Russians in the 2016 election. How many
right.
people even know that today?
Well, everybody keeps
on
denying it. You know, I have students who say it didn't happen. And I said, because they said it didn't come out in the Mueller report. I said, because the Attorney General didn't give us the Mueller report. He gave us a summary.
Right.
Left that out.
Right.
Yeah. It should have been all released.
It's the gerrymandering, I'll call it Orwellian newspeak, you know, what is really isn't real, and what isn't real is real kind of a mentality. Don't rule him out, especially with the way that the southern states have said, I don't care how the states have voted and pulled out, because I'm the delegate, I will decide who we throw our electoral votes for.
And that's worrisome.
And plenty of those motivated and have signed on to that aspect.
Comedian Bill Maher brought that up on his show Friday night about, are we going to have another January 6th in 2025 as dangerous as one in 2021 when they count the electoral vote? Oh, my God. It's a scary thing, you know.
Yeah, so.
I guess that's why people who can afford to are making plans to move out of the country. I know somebody who's overlooking in Portugal right now for a place to live.
Right.
Portugal?
We have a caller, so I'm going to bring the caller on. I think I know who it is. Hello, caller. Your mic is open.
You know, I listen to the show regularly, and when it's on, and I love listening to the three of you. I'm reminded often of the opening moments of Macbeth when I hear the three of you, but that's another story for another time. Certainly one of you is qualified to play that role. The other two need to get their degrees in herbology bugology and entomology and whatever, etymology. Anyway, the bottom line is the reason I called in is because I love your optimism. I love all of that. But while I was listening to the show, I was also scooting around on my laptop, and there is a poll out that says that a third of all Republicans in this country believe that Donald Trump will be reinstated before the end of the year. That's in
days.
Now,
that's saying that was supposed to happen in August. It didn't happen in August.
If you do the math on a third of the Republicans, first of all Republicans, and then you figure out a third of them, it's in the millions. And that means that if we could somehow poison or transfer them to another dimension or whatever, the population would be seriously improved, and the gene pool would be seriously improved, and most importantly, the immediate benefit to our resources and everything would be seriously improved. I don't think this is crude or unmerciful. It's what will benefit the species and indeed all the other species on Earth if we could eliminate people who believe that the Earth is flat, that the sun rotates around the Earth, that stars are pinholes in a black curtain. You know, this level of ignorance can only be dealt with by insecticide or the bonfire. But the solution is the final solution. I mean, I'm stunned. A third of the Republicans believe that he will be reinstated.
Now, he said that in August, and it didn't happen. Mike Lindell said that.
He will be reinstated.
Now it's November. It's not August.
Let me interject here real quick. I have been propagating and making it very public and said to spread the word to tell all the fundamentalist Republican Christians that COVID is God's way for segueing to the rapture. You're going to instantly go to heaven because that's God's will. I'm hoping it takes off. You want to get rid of the third? There's a third of them right there.
There are a lot of them that are saying that, you know, already, that this is God's.
George Bush did. George Bush the Younger did.
Yeah.
Do you remember that when he was in office, somebody said to him about, apropos of the ecological situation, this is like 15 years ago or whatever, he said to someone, and this forgiveness of him and his father and his idiot daughter, that moo cow that's on the Today Show, it's like, oh, for heaven's sakes. He said that to some reporter who mentioned, aren't you worried that the ecological situation is so grave that we're moving towards an irreversible situation? He said the sooner that this all, you know, collapses and unfolds, the sooner that the blessed Savior will come back and rescue, you know, 144,000 or something like that. It was that this is biblical and that Revelations is right and that this is a blessing that somehow, you know, it'll all work out even when the nuclear bombs are dropping and the beast is and his whore of Babylon are dining on babies or whatever the Revelations is. I've forgotten it all, but I've read it repeatedly. And I enjoy reading it when there aren't good enough science fiction movies on Svengoolie. If there's a great science, if there's a monster movie on Svengoolie, I put the Bible away. But when there isn't a good monster movie on Saturday nights on Svengoolie, I will read Revelations and get a bowl of popcorn and scare the shit out of myself. I agree with you. This is the beginning of the end, the rapture, so to speak. It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah, well, right at this time also, I see General Michael Flynn, who is briefing National Security Advisor, is saying that we have to have one religion, one Christian religion for everybody.
Yeah, I saw that. That's all the Taliban. Well, sorry, the Christian Taliban.
He's a real nut.
He's also a complete nutter traitor to his country.
Obama fired him, you know, in 14 because he was one of the higher-up military people,
I look at him when I see him, and he's not on TV often, but when I see a file footage or an archive photograph of him appear, I look at him, I look at how skinny and wiry he is, and I think, yep, kindling for the bonfire. To me, he's the wood that my father used to gather in the forest right near our house and use to start the fires. It was in the fireplace. It's like he's a piece of kindling. He is a traitor. He is excrement. It's incredible to me that he was pardoned. And that's why I say to you, gentlemen and madam, that anyone who fantasizes that anyone from Steve Bannon to Donald Trump will be held responsible, they are going to be held as responsible as this Marine who was sentenced to 3 hours in a petting zoo for being in January 6th, whatever, that idiot Marine who was just sentenced. And I was reading the article and then said, and he was sentenced to the lamb pen where he is pet lambs and help them, help kindergartners learn how to pet a lamb. And he's supposed to do that for like 2 hours on a Thursday sometime in December. It's like, there's no sentences. These people aren't going to.
Mr.
O'Reilly, you killed
a
policeman. You killed a policeman.
Getting 41 months, I think. I'm not saying that's a lot, but he's getting 3.5 years in prison. Shaman, I think his name. You know, the one with the, you know, with the tattoo and everything, and wearing.
No, he's going to be released. He will be he'll be released. They'll think it over, and then they'll say you were sentenced to 3 years for setting a policeman on fire. But now, what all we want you to do is clean a cat litter in Toledo, Ohio, for 2 weeks. Okay, next case.
I think you're wrong on that. I really do. I hope so.
And proof positive
that there's
here.
Going to be
Wait,
nothing.
We'll see what Kyle Rittenhouse gets, because that judge was definitely throwing in the fix towards that kid who
what's going to happen with that?
Military grade AR-15, which is only solely designed to exterminate people very quickly and efficiently, showed up with it with the intent that he was going to shoot people. And
right.
they coddled him, and that fake little cry.
Oh, that was the most sweet crying I've ever seen. Carl Rittenhouse. Oh.
You know,
he might be able to get a movie role. Not
my
laughing,
opinion
I'm just
of
saying,
this
you know.
Is that, yeah, my opinion of this is that the sooner that he's released with no penalty into the general population and then makes the mistake of going out with that whore of a mother for a brewski to celebrate, and they wander down the wrong alley in Butt Poke, Wisconsin, and then they're finished off. It's like if the country is really devolving into a pre-Civil War situation, then you know what I mean? What is it that Claudius said, at the end of the I, Claudius, when Claudius said, you know what, when he realized that his nephew, Nero, was going to be the emperor, and he was poisoned, he said, you know what, the solution here is to let all the germs, all of the pestilence come out. Let it all boil out. It's like we've been trying to make sense and trying to be rational. You know what? If the solution, if the forces of evil are that contaminating and that poisonous, you know what? Let the pot boil. Let the cauldron on the fire boil over and let it boil over. If people think that violence is the answer, then it's time for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and everyone on the left, Pete Buttigieg, to get a gun, to get a hand grenade, to get a launcher, and say, you know something, if that's the solution, because that's what Abraham Lincoln was faced with. That's 1861. Everyone was bickering and everyone was trying, and then there was a senator that was beaten up by another senator and bludgeoned nearly to death. And remember? And people kept saying, but let's try and be polite. Let's, you know, we're Southern and we're polite and we're Northern. We're New Englanders. We're not passionate. And it just didn't work. And finally, South Carolina, as usual, you know, the cat litter of the country, seceded and triggered everyone else seceding. Everyone said, well, South Carolina's going to do it. We are too. And that's when they fired on Fort Sumter. And then it turned into too many matches had been thrown into a keg of gunpowder. And that's where we're at. And I say to you three, and I love to be wrong, but I say to you that if the country still exists in 100 years, people will look back at this time and say, didn't they realize they were drifting towards I think the reason we don't is because we still have saran wrap, deodorant, we have fresh vegetables, we have gasoline in our cars, and electricity comes on and stays on. It doesn't go off at 6 in the evening, like in Angola or whatever. And have all the niceties of a quote-unquote civilized country. Right? And that's what they had in France, in Paris in 1789. And that's what they had in Moscow in 1918. And things were bad, but people were like, the Tsar will settle down, or Hitler won't really get elected, or, you know, the king, Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette will start caring about the bread, or and then they went too far, and one day, during a dinner party, people kicked in the French doors at Versailles, and people were being dragged to the street, and people were killed. And I think that that's where we're drifting. I think that our saran wrap and our deodorant and our electric lights are distracting us from the fact that a third of this country not only believes that Trump – first of all, the fact they believe Donald Trump should be back in office is unforgivable. Yeah. The fact that they believe it will happen –
and it was stolen from him.
Well, yes, of course, that goes without saying. That's redundant. Yes, but the fact that ladies and gentlemen at home, listeners, this is a time when we have to recognize that extremely intelligent people say things and then sometimes don't even realize the redundancy of what they're saying, but we still throw our arms around them and love them because they are the light of the future. Galileo couldn't put his shoes on correctly, but of course he did propose that the earth went around the sun, and for that we have to hug and say, Galileo, try harder with your left and right shoe. But back to this thing, the fact that we have people who say this will happen are people who will say, if I drop my shoe from a height of 4 feet in the air, it will float up into the air. Oh no, you have to be killed. You have to be killed.
Yeah.
How could we expect you to be a responsible citizen if you believe that you can drop a shoe? Because if you drop a shoe, it means you might drop a baby from a height of 4 feet and think that it will float. No, you have to be killed.
May I intervene to say this craziness of these people who last few weeks have been in Dallas, Texas, waiting for John F. Kennedy Jr. to return?
Oh, God.
And they're still there.
Vice president. Yes, he's going to be Trump. This is the QAnon idiocy. I mean, this kind of, it's like during the days of Laverne and Shirley, right, and Fonzie and Happy Days.
Yeah.
They would make up things like, up your nose with a rubber hose. They just would make up shit just to see if it would perforate through the whole country. And the next thing somebody up there, a wood chop in Maine or down there in Cactus Scrape in Arizona, right? Everybody was saying, up your nose with a rubber hose,
I lived for years.
The only thing here, gentlemen, is, too, you got to remember this. It's not just America that this craziness is going on in. A lot of Western countries are split, very divided right now. And one you wouldn't expect it from, it's got a small population of people who are split too, who are actual neo-Nazis, and that's Germany. And that's scary. Because they are the most forward, advanced, intelligent country in Europe. I mean, they are almost totally green. They've had wonderful leadership for the past 10 years.
I think they're totally off oil now, Germany.
They are. They completely
are. It's getting close, I know Norway.
And Denmark.
But Norway said by 2025 they will be totally off of the and there'll be no gas cars or, diesel-fueled cars. They're
and
all
this,
going on.
This what come of Viking heritage too. I mean, these Nords are really setting a standard for whites on the planet. But the thing is that all across Western culture right now, and in look what's going on in Hong Kong, what the Chinese are doing. And we have, oh, God, I can't even think of his name. I don't watch news anymore, guys. Who's the Korean fat boy who's lost all the weight?
Reverend Sung, I mean.
I'm talking about North Korean.
Kim.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
He lost weight, by the way.
Yeah, they all think the dear leader is dying or something.
He looks better, though, because he's lost weight.
Right.
What a character.
It's been a thing. Everybody's been doing it for the last, 8 months. But it's just as Sybil says. I mean, really, let's either get on with it or get off of it. I mean, for me, my job is revolution enough. There has to be a shift of consciousness on this planet, and I'm working that route. I've had it with the politics. I mean, I will vote. I have an opinion. I will vote. I continue to come on with you gentlemen and discuss things. Well, boy, I got to tell you, it's just wrong. It's gotten just, Sybil isn't exaggerating. It's freaking nuts out there.
You know, I, as a New Yorker, I lived within a few blocks of both Jackie Onassis when she had become Onassis. Mm-hmm. And then later I used to see, you know, JFK Jr. all the time wandering around. He was, talk about down to earth. He was on his bicycle. He'd be out jogging. People would speak to him. He would stop in the street and talk and chat with them and everything. I wish they were both alive, especially Jackie, because she was, as she got older, and as she had been put through the mill of everything, she got more and more ferocious. She turned sort of into a lioness. And even though she had that baby doll voice and that baby doll delivery, and kept being like her little Mamie Eisenhower hat and glove thing going on, there was this steeliness that, and that's why she tried to save the Colosseum. She didn't want the Colosseum torn down and replaced with a skyscraper. She didn't want Grand Central Station torn down, and right. She saved Grand Central Station. She would be thrilled to see that the post office has been turned into the Daniel Moynihan Station. I was there this past week. But I must say that if only she were still alive, it would be interesting if she rounded up her children, Carolyn and JFK, John Jr., and mm-hmm. they went to Texas to meet with people who said that they were going to run into JFK and Elvis Presley and James Dean and whoever else, you know,
Monroe
or whatever. Yeah, and that these people would be coming back or had never been dead, like in Death Becomes Her, the movie, they all had actually disappeared but were really alive and immortal. And it would be interesting to see someone as civilized as Jackie Kennedy, you know, fluent in French, her son, handsome and sophisticated, Caroline, you know, all of them, pull out flamethrowers and set Texans on fire and have them writhe around shrieking in agony, them, their spawn, all of them, and to see the Kennedys say, no, John Kennedy is dead, and this is the penalty you pay for saying right. that you're going to go to the AstroTurf or Dome or whatever and meet him. You are now on fire because that's all you people understand. You only understand the NRA and escalating weapons. I mean, Houston needs a nuclear bomb dropped on it. That's the only thing they understand.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, by the way, if Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis was still alive, she'd be 92, so probably not likely.
No. Yes, but great skin. But great skin. She was very good with her skin.
Yeah, I am seeing a Quentin Tarantino script here, okay? Give me a moment.
Oh, I wouldn't
I watched
surprised.
Those movies like, my God, what was the one about Hitler?
Yes, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Inglorious Bastards.
I know it was something like that.
I saw it the other night.
I roar with laughter at that. And the only thing is that it doesn't linger enough on Hitler's dying. But I find it immensely funny. And that's what he wanted. He wanted people to see an alternate universe in which people were thoroughly punished. And if that's this reasoning, continuing to reason with people, and I love that now Mitch McConnell, they're looking at their shoes, they're sort of rubbing their hands and sort of like embarrassed. It's too late. It's too late, you old scares crow. You've nurtured this horrible thing, and I only wish that they had been swept away by the crowds in January 6th. The biggest tragedy for me is that, in fact, that mob did not get a hold of Mike Pence,
right.
and deal with him the way they did with the little boy in Day of the Locusts, where they literally tore him to pieces and Donald Sutherland pieces. And it's like the solution would have been that Trump egged them on, and that that crowd, was either too ignorant to know who they were just killing or knew but were angry. If they looked at Pence and actually recognized him, which half of them wouldn't know him from a you know, a nail in a wall, but if they had seen him and said, there's the vice president, we're supposed to kill him next. Get a hold of Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a woman. She has no right to be in the Capitol. Kill her. You know, if they had wiped out Kevin McCarthy, if they had gotten that fag, Lindsey Graham, you know, he's a fag. Trump hates him. And no, but wait, he's a Republican from South Carolina. He's gay and probably pleased with boy. Kill him. If they had killed their own people, then we would be in a different place. But sadly, no. Nope.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I wrote about Kevin McCarthy and said, Republicans have gone from Joseph McCarthy 70 years ago to Kevin McCarthy. And it's just as much of a nightmare because he could be Speaker of the House in January 2023.
Oh. And I think that the four of us need to really seriously look at Portugal. You know, Portugal was on the Sunday show this morning. They're at 98% of COVID immunization?
I think so.
Oh, speaking of which, here's a news item for you. Did you hear about Singapore today? The headline from Singapore?
You know, please, this is worth it. Say it. Say it.
Singapore has officially refused to spend any money for COVID care on non-vaccinated people.
Yes,
so if you have COVID and you report to a hospital, they are told, you know, if they decide because they have a budget and, you know, a Singapore General or Mother Teresa, you know, General Hospital or whatever, if they decide to be generous, they could take care of you. But the government will no longer sanction any medical care for a COVID patient who has not been vaccinated. This is the height of civilization to me.
Yeah, that brings up, of course, the issue of Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott. They're just monstrous how they're dealing with this COVID-19.
Oh, absolutely. It's just deplorable.
But their people, they're people, their followers, are not willing to recognize that those very people, DeSantis and Abbott and all of them, Rubio, are vaccinated. So they've played the Donald Trump thing, but the Republicans at the top are not only vaccinated, but are given top-of-the-line medical care. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump supposedly contracted COVID, which I still don't believe. I think that was all a scam. But the point is that he got it, and nobody in those toothless washing machine front porch people said, well, wait a minute. He's getting the state-of-the-art care to save him. He's getting better care than Boris Johnson, that idiot haystack in London. Donald Trump got better care than other heads of state. And he resisted telling people to get vaccinated. He claimed it was a conspiracy. He claimed COVID was either imaginary or was a conspiracy on the part of the Democrats. He claimed that it would disappear. He got it, so to speak, conveniently before the next debate with Joe Biden, and then was cured within 72 hours, mysteriously, whatever. And nobody on the right said, well, yeah, he was cured, but he was cured because he went to Walter Reed Hospital and was given the most advanced care on the planet. Something that some congressman from Butt Poke wouldn't get.
You know, I want to point out Mitch McConnell, Fox News Channel, like Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, I think Fox requires them to be vaccinated, but they keep on attacking vaccinations and masks.
Yeah.
But they themselves have to have it, apparently.
But the people who should be outraged, and this is where I turn to the mob in Paris in 1789, the mob that these people play to have no sense of outrage. What we need is those toothless pitchfork carriers to suddenly say, wait a minute, he doesn't care about us. He got cured. He's telling us not to get vaccinated. Maybe, just maybe, the Republicans want to thin the population themselves. Okay. It's like, why would you tell your followers to do anything that self-destructive? Why would you, and why would those people be so ignorant as to do things still that are that self-destructive? We lag behind, 10 different countries in the world. We are the first country. We're the most powerful country. We keep saying this to ourselves, but we belong in some alleyway on the continent of Africa. We belong next door to Papua New Guinea. All we're not doing is eating our own citizens. We are absolutely lagging behind. But, of course, we still have saran wrap and deodorant. But we lag behind other countries on COVID and vaccinations. It's
incredible. Infant mortality. I think we're like number 23 in the world as far as infant mortality because we don't offer proper prenatal care to those who can't afford it.
Yes. And what is it, 15? It's close to 1,500 people are still dying, not contracting COVID, dying in the United States. But where is the outreach?
Today,
we're over 750 now. We're over 750,000 people. You know, Americans are size queens. So does it mean that the number 1 million will – is it like these idiots – we'll finally go, oh, well, I guess 1 million people died. You know, I guess I should care. It's like, really? 1,500 people a day dying doesn't make you care? You got the tetanus booster
when
you were a kid.
These are people who want every fetus born and have no abortions, even rape or incest in Texas.
But then they don't want to feed them.
Yeah.
They don't want – so a baby comes out of a mother's uterus, and then why don't we just dump the baby on the floor and walk away? A newborn baby. It's like from there on, an infant is as vulnerable as a litter of kittens left in an alleyway, you know, in a slum. It's like, well, wait a minute. You insisted that we bring this soul to Earth because that's what we're doing. You know, I'm not a Christian, but when you have a baby in front of you, I mean, I'm getting emotional. How could anyone look at any baby and not think, oh my God, that's that's magic. That is magic. There's a being there. There's a soul in that moving thing. There's a soul there. We have to take care of that soul. We have invited a soul to the planet, and now it's our responsibility to do the best we can. I think we owe that to kittens and puppies, let alone to humans.
Yeah.
And so, yet, you have a whole section of the population that wants to dump them. It's inconceivable to me. Yeah.
I want to bring up also about Ted Cruz. Oh, my God. Ted Cruz and the attack on Big Bird. So unbelievable.
Attack on Big Bird.
Big Bird.
Go ahead, Professor. Please tell Gwen this story. It is great.
The fact that Big Bird, it's taken the vaccine. I think it took the vaccine and encouraging that all children 5 to 11 take the vaccine. And to Ted Cruz, that's mind control, trying to force parents to give their kids vaccinations 5 to 11. So you got ridiculed, of course, but man, it's so monstrous. I actually thought, I think I've said it before, in 15 and 16, with all the people running, and I thought Trump was horrible, I actually thought at the time Cruz was worse than Trump before we knew what Trump would be. I thought he was the most dangerous of them all, and he's still out there and still hoping to run for president also.
Well, I think that he and Rubio, there's a gang of 10 that need to be thrown into a fire. But the bottom line is that Ted Cruz last week again said that Texas should secede from the union. And
yes.
I think that it would be very interesting to let Texas have its way and to secede and then for them to be attacked by Mexico while the rest of the United States stands by and says, you know what?
Back to the Mexican
War. Maybe, Remember the Alamo? You know what? Zachary Taylor took Texas away from Mexico. You know what? Let them have it. Let them have it. And you know what? That fat shit Ted Cruz, he and his idiot children can enlist in a militia and try and rescue Texas from an enraged Mexico, Mexico. I think we should offer Texas help by completely building a fence all around it and keep it separate from Oklahoma and Louisiana so that the Texans, as they try to flee from the Mexicans, are thrown against a giant electrical fence.
Texas says he wants to have the oil, the space center, and what else? Oil, space center, and the military that Texas should take.
You know, let them have them. They won't last. In two years, they'll be like, oh, please let us back in. We don't like it. Like us.
Well, Rick Perry, the former governor, also
talked
about.
I'm going to cry now.
Yeah, years ago, you know, when he couldn't remember which agencies he wanted to get rid of.
Yeah,
I remember
exactly.
That.
That's like that idiot, Jindal, Bobby Jindal in Louisiana. He was all, along with George Bush, all about the EPA disappearing. He didn't want the EPA. He didn't want any, he wanted to cut the government down financially. Then, of course, they had the BP oil spill and the hurricanes, and suddenly Bobby Jindal, an immigrant, by the way, coming to this country and then becoming a neo-fascist, boo-hooing, an oil spill. No one can buy Bubba shrimp anymore. We want help. What we should have said was, you didn't believe in federal funds for emergencies. You didn't believe in the Environmental Protection Agency, and now you have black beaches.
Nixon signed it into law.
You have black beaches.
Now, the Richard Nixon signed it into law in 1970, yeah.
Yes,
but they wanted to get rid of it, yeah.
But the Republican Party doesn't know that for all of his problems, all of Richard Nixon's terrible character problems,
yeah.
He was A, highly intelligent, and B, was intelligent enough to think forward.
He was for the Equal Rights Amendment that they turned against later. He signed into law affirmative action.
J.P. Morgan, the Vanderbilt,
I said to my
the
students,
Astors, they believe in capitalism.
Liberal, not really liberal, but compared to other Republican presidents, the most liberal since Teddy Roosevelt.
The thing about the old money, like the Astors and the Vanderbilts and J.P. Morgan, they were robber barons and everything, but they at least understood capitalism farther away from their noses than 6 inches. They they believed in, you know, they took their money, and they didn't spend it on the 12th Maserati or on a bunch of crap like those housewives, Andy Cohen's idiot housewife, you know, Andy Cohen's Bravo housewives. They spent it on museums and hospitals and things that meant something. And they also believed in the power and the importance of investing in things farther away than 6 inches from their noses. What we have now are people just resting their mouths on the dinner table of life and paving their mouths over with the wealth of the country. That's what that tax rollback was. And
this is
under
what
Donald
Jeff
Trump.
Bezos, Elon
Trillionaires
Musk,
getting,
Zuckerberg
yeah.
should be doing, but they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
that ad that says, we care more about people flying than we do about sending our chairman of the board to the moon. What is it? Which airline is that? That's a wonderful ad. Is it American or Delta or whatever? Did you know that ad it's on?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen it.
Well, there's a commercial on that says we care more about our passengers than we do about sending. I'm sorry, what?
I tune out most commercials, I said.
Well, you shouldn't turn out this one. You shouldn't tune out this one because it's a major corporation saying
yeah.
something shocking, which is we care more about you as a passenger
yeah.
and getting people on and in the airlines and into planes than we do about sending, you know, a handful of people into outer space for 10 minutes. I'm telling you, that commercial, that is like
sounds
that is
like
a clarion bell.
That sounds like JetBlue, something they
it
would
could
do.
It could be.
Maybe it's JetBlue,
yeah. It
yeah.
could be.
Yeah, I was going to mention
there's
Josh Hawley who put his fist up on January 6th, and he talks about masculinity is being lost because men are playing video games and engaging in pornography to dominate their lives rather than employ and control women in their lives. Can you imagine a person saying something like that?
Yeah, but see, the problem is that women are – he has sisters and a mother. He has a daughter. Those women need to get pitchforks and go into the bedroom and wake him up and have him turn on the lights and see them in the last 15 seconds before he's hacked to pieces. Women are the biggest collaborators in this nightmare. You have women all over the country collaborating. When a woman wears a T-shirt with an arrow pointing at her vagina saying, he can grab my pussy anytime, this is quisling behavior.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, it is.
She needs to be gotten rid of.
Those
because
women that love Trump,
is,
don't get it.
She is the mother of a child. Is she going to teach that to her daughter?
And what about
no
Paul
shame.
Gosar, the Arizona congressman, who had this anime video attacking AOC and also threatening Joe Biden? And nothing's been said by Kevin McCarthy or any Republicans to condemn him or cut him down.
There's another rumor going around right now that my sister heard at work that apparently Republicans are saying that Joe Biden is has dementia and that
I've heard that
and that he shats his pants and they have to clean it up and I mean it, and I looked at my sister and I said, you buying that? I mean, are you thinking something?
Well, they're also going on the attack against Harris, saying Harris is useless and that she's not doing anything and all that. It's all part of a plan. Yeah. I'm not saying they're perfect. They're not perfect, but, my God, they're better than the alternative.
I'm going to say, I'll take 10 of those to one Trump any damn day of the week.
Yes. And actually, I see Joe Biden speak. He loves a little bit in words, so who doesn't? But he seems perfectly fine to me, and it's just not quite what he was 10 years ago. But he's not demented. I don't see that. He knows what he's saying when he's saying it.
I don't think it's true, one bit of it. I'm just mentioning that these kinds of things.
But the same people would never say that Trump acted like he was demented in the last 5 years. He doesn't act demented the way he behaves.
Hey, folks, remember during the campaign against Hillary and Trump, and Hillary slipped on ice? Well, she had Alzheimer's. She was stroking out. She, and all that kind of. It's just they're throwing shit, hoping it sticks to the wall. And for many people, it's plaster.
Yeah.
Did any of you watch the HBO or the Netflix or whatever, the Monica Lewinsky program, The Several Par? Are you watching it at all? It's fascinating.
No, I did not see it. I didn't give the time.
I saw it being advertised, but I didn't watch it.
I'll tell you something. If you didn't think that Linda Tripp should have been punished in the most appalling way possible.
Oh, yeah.
See this, and you watch this, and it's like Linda Tripp is clearly the daughter of Satan. She is absolutely a psychopath. And
this
if only she had functioned this way in Germany in 1946, in Northern Italy in 1945, she would have been grabbed by the public and torn to pieces.
Well, she died in April 2020. I just looked her up. She died about a year and a half ago. Yeah.
Well, I'll just say, allow me to elaborate on this. In Maryland, you are not allowed to record anybody's conversation on the phone without notifying. She was recording Monica Lewinsky's and her conversation.
Yeah.
She was subpoenaed, indicted, and taken to trial and found guilty for espionage. Well, it's something, for wiretapping, illegal wiretapping, I think is what it really falls on.
And what was her penalty?
Well, now, isn't that the special thing? I couldn't tell you.
she had to clean cat litter in Toledo.
Cat litter is better than dog litter.
No, not really. Not really.
Are you an expert on both?
Maybe cleaning a pen of hog shit would be better.
Didn't Catherine Paulson play this part of Linda Tripp?
Oh, and brilliant. What an actress. I mean, she's having a golden time right now. She's doing one thing after another. Amazing.
Her partner's not bad either.
Yes, exactly. Tripp sued the U.S. Department of Defense and the U.S. Department of Justice for releasing information from her security file to the news media. Tripp reached a settlement with the federal government. The settlement included a one-time payment of more than $595,000, a retroactive promotion, a retroactive pay at the highest salary for 1998, 99, and 2000. She also received a pension and was cleared to work for the federal government again. Her rights to remain part of a class action against the government were preserved. And you people think that Donald Trump will be even scolded, or that Steve Bannon will be will have only a tuna fish sandwich for lunch, we live in a country. I'm telling you, if Steve Bannon had been alive in Berlin in 1945 and had gotten to the bunker with Hitler and his crew and said, "Don't commit suicide, I'm going to get us all off," and the Russians got there, and the Americans and the British, everyone closed in, and the bunker was opened, and Hitler was marched out with Steve Bannon somehow involved, Hitler would have gone shopping in Paris 2 weeks later and would have been retired with the Duke and Duchess of Windsor to Bermuda. I'm telling you right now, it's like we live in a time when you could eat a baby in front of the public on Fifth Avenue, and if you're a Republican, it's all okay with them.
Well, actually, Donald Trump said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He did say that as a joke, you know.
Right. But it was no joke.
See, Linda Tripp, by the way, when she was 19, was arrested on charges of stealing $263 in cash and a wristwatch, but they were dismissed before they could come to trial. And years later, she had to answer the question for government employee, have you ever been charged or arrested? And she denied it. So she actually lied on her clearance form.
I saw that on this bio. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, on this Wikipedia thing, if you scroll up to the top, it's a fact that when she was born, on her 10th birthday, she was arrested by local police for being too ugly to live. And she got off as a minor, and some Sunday school teacher who had been a Nazi and was moved to Argentina said, "Please don't kill her. She is indeed ugly and should be killed for it, but it's not the Christian way." So she actually, I mean, her penalties, her crimes are enormous.
Died of a pancreatic cancer. Not a pleasant way to go, you know.
You know what? My attitude about that is this. You know something, I used to be for the death penalty, and now I'm not. And the reason is this: we all are going to die, and most of us are going to die very unpleasantly. The hard truth as you get older is to realize that not only will you die, and everyone you love will die, but that most of us actually die rather horribly. Lingering illness, heartbreak, poverty.
Oh, dear.
What a thing to say to end the show.
And
we only got 4 minutes.
Oh, dear.
And
now,
that's
on
why.
On that, I have to say this. I just participated in a crossing ceremony for a doctor who lingered for several years with leukemia, but he prepared himself for death.
In the
good old-fashioned Kubler-Ross death and dying stride. Culturally, we are trying to change how the process of dying. And one other thing to say about this is, death is an illusion. It is just the physical body that gives out. It is not the spirit, not the soul, and not the personality.
We should all go to sleep and not wake up and not suffer. That's the ideal.
That's what I was going to say was that most of us, first of all, we all die, and most of us die badly. And so the death penalty, if someone dying by injection on a gurney, oh, my God, most of us would be lucky to be that peaceful. And I think that penalties, you know, I joke about throwing people into bonfires and everything, but the real penalty is to confine these criminals into a horrifying prison where they get bunched together in small spaces, because the ultimate penalty is to be forced to live with monsters like yourself and to be kept alive as long as possible. I'm Bernie Madoff. Oh, my God, he got away with it. He was in prison for a couple of years, and he was in a sterile, beautiful hotel prison. You know, it was immaculate and everything. Oh, my God, the man should have been shut up in a crate with two holes in it, you know?
Right.
You know, one for food in and one for poop out. And it should have had a hose stuck in there. And when he had a cough, he should have been sent to the infirmary and been kept alive. Bernie Madoff needed to live to be 132. Linda Tripp should have been kept alive at all costs in a devastatingly terrible prison. And that's
right.
And they all should. There's no death penalty because we're not making – it's not horrible anymore. Drawing quartering would be horrible. That might be a beginning, but no, it's – no. So, you know, we're all going to die badly. I'm going to die very badly, I know. I've lived a life of caviar and champagne. My pancreas is going to turn on me sometime within the next year or two. So I will die hideously, and my enemies will clap and laugh and point.
Gosh.
And they will say to me, come now, don't sulk. Take your own advice, Sybil Brunchen.
Well, I'll die with a piece of whiskey in my hand. So, and anyway, the end of the show is nigh. Professor Ron, will you tell people where they can find your good writing and all of that?
Yeah, theprogressiveprofessor.com and on History News Network under the blog Ronald L. Feynman, F-E-I-N-M-A-N. And, of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and also LinkedIn with my postings.
And Sybil, do you have any place people can find you?
In the alleyway. Just in an alleyway near my house. I'm living in a Maytag washing machine box, which I just got insulated against the cold.
How much?
And Wayne Johnson, tell us about you.
All right. Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. This is where some of my stories of what I've been exposed to and what I lived through. You know, telling Jack Kemp the 2005, the Republican Party was going to hell. And as we saw today, my prediction came true.
Yes, and happy anniversary.
And happy anniversary.
And today is my wife's and mine. We're of our anniversary of 34 years being married.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I got very lucky.
Please.
Yes,
he made you a better person.
Please tune in tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock for Come Now, Don't Sulk with our own Sybil Brunchen. And this has been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. Come visit us. It's a holiday season. Buy something sweet. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, all.